Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
An exploding vaping pen actually killed a 38-year-old man earlier this month at his home. Yes.
Like, blew into flames, right?
Well, it was a projectile.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the Pinellas County Medical Examiner confirmed the details. Firefighters had suspected it as the cause of death since first responders were dispatched to the home on a call about a fire. The guy's name was Talmadge Delia, and he was found on the home's second floor. Now, injuries to Delia's face indicated his e-cigarette exploded. It burned 80% of his body. Whoa. Two portions of the device were recovered, with the cause of death stated as projectile wound of the head.
Wow. So basically like a bullet.
Yeah, it went off and went into his head. Jeez. The medical examiner said it was an accident, and Delia spent much
it
of his...
It wasn't one of the features of the cigarette.
By the way, listen to this. This guy was spent a lot of his career as a TV producer with CNBC.
Yes.
And then he worked freelance in St. Petersburg. Exploding e-cigarettes and pens are extremely rare. Most explosions center around the battery, but they happen enough to cause concern at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Here's another smoking story. The expression "smoke 'em if you got 'em" was never meant to apply to people on combustion-causing oxygen. Yet a 56-year-old PA man using a nasal cannula or oxygen delivery device died of burns over the weekend after he tried to light a cigarette with the oxygen running.
Oh, my God.
So here's a guy
so stupid
with the oxygen, and he lights up a smoke.
And what is he, emphysema? What is he on oxygen?
You know what? I don't know why he was, but...
there's a guy who just does not understand.
He was identified as Douglas Raymond of Waymart. Raymond's attempt to light the cigarette with his nasal oxygen flowing ignited a flash fire that burned the victim's face and upper respiratory system. The flash fire melted the rubber nasal cannula device on Raymond's face, with the dripping rubber igniting a small fire on the carpet that burned out on its own. So that's messed up, man. A woman has been arrested after she was caught on video apparently pooping on the floor of a Tim Hortons, then she's seen defecating in front of the counter following some sort of verbal confrontation with staff.
In a Tim Hortons?
And surveillance video of what happened posted on the internet then shows her throwing the feces at Tim Hortons workers before running out of the frame.
Preston, there are donuts at Tim Hortons.
The workers apparently had... I don't know what they did, but afterwards...
What can you do?
Yes. Yeah. What's your reason?
The woman...
Why did you poop and then hurl your poop at us? I think if you have a good enough reason, we'll entertain it.
The woman was set to appear at a court date later on. There's no word on exactly what prompted her actions.
So guilty with an explanation.
All right, so... Oh, cannula is the name of that thing on your freaking nose. Thank you, people. I'm seeing text. I'm like, all right. So I don't know what
canola
the name of that thing is. It's a canola.
Yeah.
Cannoli.
Venezuela.
A man heading to his home is lucky to be alive after he struck a deer, which ended up still alive in the backseat of his moving car.
It's Tommy Boy.
It was about 9 p.m. Sunday when Greg Winters was driving and the doe suddenly shot out from the tree line.
A doe?
Winters said that he slammed on his brakes, but with less than a second to react, the two-door Honda Civic struck the deer at about 50 miles an hour. It smashed its hood and fender and caused his passenger side airbag to deploy. And the front end was demolished, he said. The sudden impact sent the doe flying up into the air as his car continued forward. He said, I thought it was going to land behind me or to the side of me. When he heard the back window shatter a second later, he thought it was from the impact of the initial crash. But a moment later, he was stunned to realize the deer was still alive.
Whoa,
it had crashed back down and through the back window, and it was now kicking him in the back of the head from his still moving car's back seat.
That is the ultimate nightmare.
Yep.
That happened to a friend of mine. He was on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. He hit the deer, and the deer went around the right side of the car, and the ass of the deer came in the back window, and the deer crapped all over the car.
That's right. You mentioned this story. Sprayed, like projectile crap.
Yeah.
Then unpleasant.
He said, then all of a sudden I looked out of the corner of my eye and a leg and a hoof come through the middle section there and started writhing around and turned around, and the deer's looking at me. Even though he had
I'm going to sue your ass off.
Even though he just struck a large animal, which was now kicking him in the head, Winters was able to pull over safely.
And laugh.
He said when he got out of the car, he was so stunned that for a minute he didn't quite know what to do. He then called for help. Incredibly, Winters was not hurt, but he believes that his car is totaled. The deer only lived for about 20 more minutes, though, before it died prior to authorities arriving. Fire officials at the scene told Winters that it's rare to see such an accident and that he is lucky that he wasn't hurt in the incident.
He sounds lucky.
Time for one more story, and then we got to take a break. Some people just always want to relive high school, and apparently 25-year-old Bouvier Gilstrap Portly.
Bouvier Gilstrap Portly?
That's a name.
Yeah, couldn't resist. The Dallas Morning News reports that Gilstrap Portly was arrested recently after he pretended to be a 17-year-old named Rashawn Richardson, and he enrolled in two high schools in the course of 3 months. He's 25.
You know what? And I don't think this guy looks particularly young.
I didn't get a chance to take a look at him.
Yeah, he looks like he's an older guy.
Upon joining Hillcrest High School in October, he joined the school's basketball team and was voted District 11-5A's Offensive Player of the Year.
That is wow. So funny.
He reportedly told school
authorities... His wife and kids were there to watch.
That he'd been left homeless by Hurricane Harvey and came to Dallas, so he wasn't asked for the same documentation that's typically required to get into
school. Excited. My grandson and my grandchildren here to see it. This is great.
His true identity was revealed when his ex-basketball coach at another area high school saw him playing in a tournament and recognized him from many years earlier. So they busted him.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
An Allegiant flight from Orlando to Grand Rapids was delayed Monday after an unruly passenger stole a flight attendant's demonstration life jacket and shoved it down the toilet.
Wow. People get so pissed off in transit.
I have two stories back to back that are transit stories. Flight 682 was delayed due to weather, said Erin Bruce, who was on the flight with her mother, and then things got a little bit weird. Bruce said that a man on the flight was moved because he appeared to be intoxicated, and they wanted to keep an eye on him.
Don't they not let people on a flight if they appear to be intoxicated?
They can do that, yeah.
Yeah.
She said he snagged the flight attendant's life jacket, the one they used for a demo, and then he went into the restroom and shoved it in the toilet. The flight attendant, who was trying to conduct the pre-flight safety demonstration, began searching for the missing life jacket. Attendants asked over the intercom for whoever took the inflatable device to return it because the flight can't leave without the demonstration. That's the rule.
So they have to, the demonstration has to be executed to code,
yep,
or they cannot leave.
They will not leave because that opens up the potential for a lawsuit.
They can't say, imagine I'm holding a life jacket.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So Bruce said
I'm holding a life jacket.
That the man fessed up. She said they noticed this in the life jacket, that the life jacket was in the restroom, in the toilet. It was soiled. And they had to wait for someone to bring
and
them
blue now at this point, right?
A fresh one to do the demo. And in fact, the captain turned the plane around to go get a new vest. Passengers,
we have to go back to the airport.
Passengers were annoyed until they started bonding over the comic moment. The passenger was removed by flight attendants with police supervising. He wasn't arrested, and they rebooked him on a later flight.
Yeah. Why wasn't he arrested?
I don't know. I think he might have just interfered with the
company's toilet function.
With the company's policy and not necessarily a law. You know what I mean? Here you go. How about this? The law. A passenger on an Alaskan Airlines flight from Seattle to Anchorage looked up from his audiobook to see a naked man yelling and heading toward the cockpit. Nick Steffel said, I thought it was some kind of an attack. Well, when the naked man reversed course and ran to the rear of the jet, Steffel confronted him. Another passenger helped restrain the man, and the jet landed safely about 45 minutes later. The man was transported to the hospital. Now, the man was assigned a seat two rows ahead of this guy, Steffel, near the back of the jet. Steffel noticed the man watching a movie he'd seen, The Disaster Artist.
Okay.
The movie contained a prominent scene with actor James Franco naked.
And it encourages you, if you're on a flight, to mimic that scene, correct?
So Steffel, I guess so. Steffel did not see the man remove his clothes, but looked up to see him 15 rows ahead running forward. He said, I heard him whooping and hollering. Like he was having a good. He said he was whooping and hollering.
I'm
like
make a sound for you.
Like he had, like he's having a good time.
Patches on the left side of the plane will hear.
He said he guessed the naked man was about 22 years old and only about 140 pounds. Steffel unbuckled the seatbelt and stood in front of him. The young man, he said, went into bro mode.
When a naked dude is in bro mode.
Yeah. So he's naked and he stands there and he goes, hey, man, what's going on?
I don't know. I'm just flying in a plane, watch movies.
And he said, and my adrenaline is just pumping and I'm in fight response. After this guy's running toward the cockpit after a post 9/11 flight, I was almost raging at that point.
Sure.
In a profanity.
Naked Al-Qaeda.
In a profanity-laced question, Steffel asked the man what he was doing, and the man replied with a smart-ass response, according to him. So Steffel slapped him in the face.
Snap out of it!
The young man was never violent. Steffel said, I was the one that got violent. I slapped him across the face, and he was like, oh, I like it.
So, clearly, was there some sort of drug involved with this?
They never
there
indicated.
Had to be.
This, okay, so anyhow, after the guy says, oh, like it, within seconds, another passenger, possibly the young man's father, pinned his arms behind him and escorted him to the crew work area. Flight attendants...
My boy's a little crazy.
Swarmed in and may have restrained him. Out of sight, the man shouted out crazy things the rest of the flight, Steffel said.
I told you to stay in your seat while I tried to flush the life jacket.
FBI agents contacted the man in Anchorage, but left him in the care of airport police.
Man, traveling is a wild west out there.
It is. Steve, you spoke about with Jay Leno. We didn't talk about it on air, but he has a McLaren in his car.
One of 64.
And somebody's offered him $17 million for
yes.
him. So McLarens are obviously most coveted cars. Well, the Nevada Highway Patrol discovered a totaled McLaren 720 off the road near Lake Mead on Friday, and police said seatbelts saved the lives of the two people who were inside. Now, this one was a $300,000 car.
Okay, so the actual McLaren that he has is the one where the driver sits in the center.
It was found 70 yards from the road, and police reported that it rolled at least one time while nearly missing a ravine. The McLaren is a 710-horsepower coupe.
Oh, my God.
Which reaches a maximum speed of around 212 miles per hour. According to officers, neither the driver nor passenger were seriously injured. When the vehicle was found by police, the driver and passenger were missing from the scene of the crash. After a search, officers learned that they made their way to the nearest hospital to be treated for a few scrapes and burns. The couple was part of a cross-country exotic car rally.
Oh, boy.
Which is an event for supercar owners who hold parties at each stop along the way.
So but it's like the Cannonball Run.
They yeah. totaled theirs, and the car was a complete loss.
Wow.
Nasty.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.